I wanted to read a few verses of scripture here. Verse 10, chapter 5, James chapter 5. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So the first thing we see in these scriptures is an example that's given to us of the prophets. Take, my brethren, the prophets. They spoke in the name of the Lord. Now, if you went by what most of them are teaching today, you would have expected that they would have had, wonderful abundance of this world's goods and all the joys and the pleasures that goes along with it. But as is always the case, sometimes I'm tempted to say often is the case, but it's really not. It's always the case that with God and the true service of God comes affliction. And we're given this as an example. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord. Now, this is a testimony of God that these prophets spoke in his name. In other words, he was pleased with their testimony, with their witness. But he said to take them for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Now, according to, again, the Word of God, there's only one way to obtain patience. Right? For tribulation worketh patience. But can we do without it? Not hardly. For you have need, the writer of Hebrews says, of patience. Well, why? Yeah. So you wait upon the Lord, right? You have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might inherit the promises. Right. Add. So here we have this as an example. And then he says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Endure what? Endure the patience. Endure the afflictions. Because they're sure to come again. It's not a question as to whether they're going to come. It's just when and to what degree or what extent these afflictions, these trials, these tribulations, these persecutions, it's just a question of how often, how severe, and when they're going to come about. But they are coming. But we have, as the writer of Hebrews puts it again in that 12th chapter, we have this great cloud of witnesses, right? And so, what is the admonition? Lay aside the sin that does so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto who? Yeah, to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame. But now what? He is set down on the right hand of God the Father. We count them happy. No wonder we count them happy that endure. No question, is it? And then, of course, he brings forth Job. And how often do we think about Job? You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Here's the thing. What is he talking about here? Well, he's talking about the fact that even though God took all that he took away from him, he took away his children, he took away his possessions, he took away his health, but in the end, what did he do, JT? Yeah, he gave him twice as much as he had before. So,
he took all that away, and then he gave him that glass too, though. He said, just touch the Lord and die.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you just curse him and go on and die? And as J.T. often says, gave him three Baptist friends, didn't he? But all of it was for the same purpose, wasn't it? To perfect him in the knowledge of God. And so, finally, Elihu speaks to Job, and then ultimately, God himself speaks to Job, and he teaches him, Job, where were you when I did all of these wonderful, marvelous things? Well, Job was nowhere except in the mind of God, wasn't he? But here's the thing, that God, the Lord, is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And so, he goes on above all things, you know, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Right. He begins his epistle with that, doesn't he? So, we need to heed these things, but here's the thing, when he talks about this not swearing by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, he's leading up to this thing about prayer. We have our answer always in prayer. Again, last time we went to Cheetah, Brother Hutchinson had a very, very good sermon regarding prayer. And we really need to pray more. I do. I need to pray more than I do. I need to pray more fervently than I do. I need to seek the Lord because there is no answer in anything else. Prayer. And so he says, is any among you afflicted? Let him do what? Well, let him pray. Now, again, the flesh shies away from affliction. We may as well admit it because it's true. The flesh shies away from it. It doesn't like affliction. And yet, it's an absolute necessity. The 119th Psalm in verse 67, and I think we probably all know this, but it says, the psalmist says, before I was afflicted, what happened? He went astray. Well, how about us? You know, that's the problem with the opposite of affliction. What is the opposite of affliction?
Comfort
or mirth? Easygoing? What other words can we use? But just it's totally the opposite of affliction that leads us astray. Again, as the writer of Ecclesiastes found out, the preacher found out, it's by the sadness of the countenance that the heart is made better. By the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. In verse 71 of that 119th Psalm, he says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Right? And why? That I might learn thy statutes. And I don't think we even mentioned the latter part of the 67th verse, but it's virtually the same thing. But now have I kept thy word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Now what? Well, after I've been afflicted. Well, is any afflicted? Let him pray. And certainly, if you really ever get earnest in prayer, it's going to be when you're afflicted. It's one of those old sayings in World War, I think it was come out of World War II, they said there's no atheist in the foxhole. Let a person get in trouble and you don't have to teach him how to pray. You don't have to encourage him to pray. And he really gets in trouble. Now, most of the time, they're like the bulk of the people of Israel that JT is talking about this morning. The psalmist says that God saved them out of their troubles. But then he says that they soon forgot. Isn't that true? 10 times God said they tempted him in the wilderness. They murmured and complained because that's how quickly they forgot. And Bruce and I have talked about this several times. One generation, they remembered as long as Joshua lived. But one generation, they forgot God, and they were gone. So, are afflictions necessary? Absolutely, they are necessary. But that's, again, when we go to God in prayer, within the most fervent and active way. Well, is any merit? Are there times when we do have peace and quietness, joyfulness? Yes, there are. But what are we to do with it? Well, sing songs. Sing songs. Of course, we all know in Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3, we're told there that we're to make melody in our hearts unto the Lord, right? But again, how are we to do that? Well, in the 92nd Psalm, it tells us there to do it with a solemn sound. A solemn sound. In other words, there is soberness attached to it. So, but prayer. Is any sick among you? Now, this is one of those times, you see, when we don't have much trouble going to the Lord in prayer, do we? Let the body get a little bit feeling bad, and boy, we're quick to go to the Lord in prayer. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're told to do that, aren't we? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Why is it that we mention people in our services every Lord's Day? Do we ever fail to mention people that have illnesses in their bodies? No. And we pray for them, or we pray over them. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, it's not always because of some direct sin or obvious sin that a person gets sick, is it? Now, sickness is always the result of sin. It's a consequence of sin. It's a consequence of that sin that happened way back there in the Garden of Eden, isn't it? It's that part of that curse that God pronounced upon man, upon mankind, I guess I should say. But sometimes, evidently, there are specific sins that cause sickness. Now, it's implied, of course, here that there is a repentance there. But verse 16 says, then confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, that ye may be healed, both of physical diseases, but most especially of spiritual diseases of sin. The 103rd Psalm Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And what is the first benefit that is mentioned here? Forgiveth all thine iniquities, and also who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then he gives us the example of Elijah. And certainly we know that story from 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18. And it is a very encouraging thing, isn't it? I mean, he prayed, first of all, and it rained not. Now, how many of us would ever think of praying for it not to rain? But he did it at the bidding of God, didn't he? But then he prayed again, and it did rain. But if the way it all came about was so typical of the work of God, because he told his servant to go and look, right? And the servant came back, he said, I don't see anything. We've seen him back how many times? Seven times. Finally, he sees a cloud like a hand of a man. But when he saw that cloud, Elijah advised Ahab, get down off of this mountain and get, because it's fixing to come with a frog strangler. And sure enough, that's what happened. It rained. But it's all because, again, Elijah was following the will of the Lord. And that's ultimately where we come to, isn't it? It's all about the will of God. And if we pray within the will of God, what can we expect? He answers us, doesn't he? He gives us our desires, our petitions. Now, we just sang that song a while ago. And the last verse and the last line of that song, teach me the patience of unanswered prayer. But the patience implies that the prayer, the answer to the prayer may be delayed, but it must ultimately come, right? And so as we pray today, as we pray always, but as we pray today, will we have what we ask of the Lord? If it's according to His will, we're assured of it. It may be delayed, but we will have it. But oftentimes, can you pray amiss? Yeah. James chapter 4, right? From whence cometh what? Wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust, which war against your souls, or your members, rather? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not. First, because ye ask not. And secondly, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. May the Lord send forth His Spirit today, that as we pray, that we will pray in His will. And again, there are some things that we ask of the Lord that He will not give. Never going to give it. And the greatest example we have of that is Jesus Himself. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And the writer of Hebrews tells us, we know He was heard. Why? Because He feared. But God could not answer that prayer because it meant His glory and the fulfilling of His purpose. That He might say unto Himself a people to the praise of His name. So let us pray with this attitude.